God's gave us an owner's manual. We don't read it like an owner's manual. We read it like a novel. We don't believe this book means what it says. If we did, we would change the way we do business. So today we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 22. In Proverbs chapter 22, we'll use the NLT. We'll just go down through this verse by verse, line by line, word by word. And, of course, in Proverbs 22:6, there is a statement. How many of you have ever heard this statement? Train up a child in the way it should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. What is he talking about there? Train up a child in the way he should go. I mean, you know, I used to hear people say that, but train up a child in the way it should go. What is training up a child in the way it should go? Well, you know, you think that. You think, well, you know, teach them to be holy and teach them in the Word. But, you know, I'm going to show you today, you may be surprised at what Proverbs 22 is talking about. I know when I first got a revelation of it, it changed. I thought, wow, now I know, because we don't do what Proverbs 22 says. That's why we got so many kids in financial problems. They never learn how to manage their money, because that's what Proverbs 22 is talking about, how to manage your gold and silver. So train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, won't depart from it. I'm going to tell you, the worst thing you can do when your child gets to be 16 or 18, whenever they start getting these things, credit card with a limit of $1,000. Throw that sucker in the trash. You don't want your kids to have a credit card. You know, I absolutely do not want them to have a credit card. I know that when my daughter, when she got to be 16 years old, she got some of those things, and mother said, well, I really think we ought to get her a credit card, so if she gets out somewhere, she'll have some money. I said, absolutely not. If I want her to have some money, I'll give her $5 or $10, and she runs that out, she comes home. You know, but I ain't going to buy her no credit card. Well, first thing you know, I didn't know, but she's got a credit card. And then she kept adding up on this credit card and paying it some, and she got married, and of course, and she's continued to put bill on her credit card. And then when she died, when she got killed in a car wreck, when she was 24 years old, I got a letter from a credit card company that said she owed $2,500 on her credit card. And they want to know why she hadn't been making no payments. So I picked up the phone, called them. I said, you know, the reason she ain't making no payments is because she's dead. She died. I said, how much does she owe? And they said, $2,500. I said, well, how much are you going to settle with me for? And they said, well, if she's dead, I guess we couldn't get it. I said, no, but I said, if you're willing to settle with me for something, since I realized that she hadn't been making payments, and the interest is added up, she actually didn't spend $2,400. Probably about half of that was what she actually spent. The rest of it was penalties and interest. And so they said, okay, we'll settle for half. So I wrote them a check, sent it to them. I told them, I said, you know, don't ever contact me again for a credit card. But you know, you don't have to contact anybody for a credit card. They'll contact you to give you a credit card. You know, everybody wants you to have a credit card. I get them every day. Do you? You get things in the mail wanting you to take another credit card? Sure, all of us. They want you to spend their money. And the more money you spend and the more they check your record, and especially if they find out you got a good credit rating, the more of them things you'll get. Because they want your business. You know, I mean, I can remember when I couldn't have got a credit card with a $1,000 limit on it. That's all they would have given me. And then today, I get credit cards pre-approved for $50,000. You know, I'm pre-approved. All you got to do is sign your name. We'll pre-approve you for $50,000. Well, I don't want their credit cards, you know. I don't want them. I ain't going to use those credit cards. So, but there's today, as I've looked at the population in the church, this is the problem with the church today. Almost everybody, not everybody, but almost everybody in the church is in deep debt with a credit card. And I see people that owe $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 on a credit card, and they're making monthly payments. I'm going to tell you, at 25% interest, you ain't never going to get ahead. You ain't never going to get ahead. When people say, but I had to have the money, I said, no, you didn't. You didn't have to have the money. You know, and then I go down the list with them, and look, I've had people come in here, and a lot of times it's women, but sometimes it's men, but I am a little more compassionate with a woman when she comes in here and says, well, I'm $20,000 in debt. And I said, well, where'd you spend the money? Well, it was things I had to have. And I go down through the list. She took somebody to dinner. I said, you didn't have to have that. You know, you did this or you did that or you bought this for your house. I said, you didn't have to have that. You didn't have to have it. You know, I mean, we are spoiled rotten in America. We think we got to have everything. And then we don't want to have just anything. We want something that's quality. You know, I think one time I went to preach somewhere, and this one guy, as I walked in, he kind of looked at me, and he says, where'd you get your duds? I said, what do you mean? He said, and he quoted me some fancy name, $5,000. Broke with mine. I said, J.C. Penney, $79. But let me tell you what, I got money and he don't. I still got mine, but you won't never see me wear a $5,000 suit. I ain't going to spend that kind of money. I sure ain't going to go out and put it on a credit card. You know, so I can say, look at me, look at my duds. Hey, I mean, you know, I wear a pair of blue jeans for $9.95. You know, but I'm not a man that spends money on clothes. And you won't never hear me say, well, you know, I got this suit and this cost $5,000. You won't never hear me say that, because if it sucker costs $5,000, I ain't going to be wearing it. In fact, Cheryl used to go to Neiman Marcus and shop quite a bit before we got married. And then she went over there and bought me some T-shirts one day, and when she brought them home, they said Neiman Marcus. I told her, I said, woman, if you ever bring me another T-shirt home that's Neiman Marcus on, I'm going to make you take it back, because I ain't going to wear a shirt that costs that much money. I said, you buy my shirts at Walmart or whatever, but I ain't wearing nothing that comes from Neiman Marcus. That's not me. Y'all see where I'm coming from? So she never bought me nothing else. Yeah, okay, she said they were on sale. But at Neiman Marcus, if they're on sale, they're too high. So I don't spend money on clothes. You know, and by not spending money on clothes, yet I think about all the suits I have, you know. When Cheryl and I got married, I think I had 4 suits. And then there was a man, a deacon in a Baptist church, a good friend of one of our ladies that works with me. She tried to get this Baptist deacon to come to one of my healing schools so he could get healed of cancer. He would not come. And so he died. And he was exactly my size. And he had about 20 suits. And that man's wife asked Sharon, if that pastor that you talked to us about to give us those CDs, he looked about the same size as my husband. Reckon he could use these suits? Sharon said, well, I don't know. I'll take them out there and see. I could wear every one of them. Every one of them fit perfect. I went from 4 suits to 24 suits and didn't cost me nothing. So when I say, hey, this one didn't cost me nothing, it's free. Now that's the way I like it. I don't mind wearing somebody else's suits. I feel sorry for the guy that he wouldn't come to a healing school and get healed. But if he's going to die, I might as well get the benefit of his suits. You know, so, yeah. I mean, God is a healer, but you know, everybody don't believe God. We don't have faith in the church. We really don't have faith in the church. And I used to not have any faith at all myself. But praise God, I'm getting a little. But now let's look into Proverbs chapter 22, starting with verse 1 in the NLT. Choose a good reputation over great riches. This is God speaking to each one of us. For being held in high esteem is better than having silver or gold. Now then, you ask the average person today, what is your greatest desire on earth? To be filthy rich. You ask the average young man that's 25 years old, what's your goal? To be a millionaire by the time I'm 35. Do you hear that all the time? Sure. And they're willing to run over anybody to do whatever it takes to be a millionaire by the time they're 35 years old. Now we're talking about money here. The rich and the poor have one thing in common. The Lord made them both. So if you're rich or you're poor, God made you. There's no two ways about it. Verse 3 and 4. Then it says, a prudent person foresees the dangers ahead and takes precautions. Think about that a second. A prudent person looks around at what's happening. And he makes arrangements for what he thinks or what the Holy Spirit leads him to believe is going to happen in the future. Now then, let me ask you this. What would you do different today if you knew tomorrow was going to be your last day on this earth and you were going to die? Would you do anything different today if you knew tomorrow was your last day? You know, none of us know that, do we? We don't realize. You know, I think about one of the members of this church we just buried a week ago, 65-year-old man. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, he was right back there, sitting right back there where Dave's sitting. He appeared to be in perfect health, but he had a problem with his knees. And so he wanted to go in and let the doctors check his knee, and when he did, the doctor told him he needed a knee replacement. Well, it's not a big deal, so I'll just let them replace it. They replaced his right knee, and then gave him some kind of an injection that he was allergic to. He tried to tell him that injection, whatever it is making me feel awful. You know, I can't breathe. You know, I'm having trouble breathing. I've got chest pains, all kinds of things. And they come back in the next morning at 5 o'clock and give him another one. And at 5:40, he's dead. They called me in the hospital and said, Larry just passed away. We buried him last Thursday. Actually, Dave done the funeral. I was in Norway. If you knew that tomorrow was your last day, would you do anything different? Would you be better to your mate? Would you be better to your mother? Your father? Well, if you would, change. If you're here, this is what we as Christians should say. If I knew tomorrow was my last day, I wouldn't change a thing. I would just walk right on through it and live it right until tomorrow. When Jesus took me home, I'd say, praise God, I'm ready, Lord, to come home. You know, I tell this story. I told this here a while back, and I think Dave really enjoyed this story, being an engineer too. Well, years ago, we had a meeting with the best 11 of us engineers that work for the corporation I work for. We covered the whole United States of America, Mexico, and Hawaii. And we were 11 of us guys that covered all that area. And one day we had a corporate meeting in Washington, and the CEO, actually the executive VP over the engineering division, he had us all at dinner one night, and he was sitting there at a table, and I was sitting right beside him on the right side, and he started on the guy on the left side of him and said, Joe, if I were to give you a 10% raise this next year, what could you do better for me in the next year? He began to tell him everything he could do better with a 10% raise. Okay, he listened. We're all listening. He goes to the next guy. Bob, what could you do if I give you a 10% raise? He went all the way around the room, and every man told him what he could do better with a 10% increase. He comes around to me. He said, Thurman, you're the last one. He said, well, what could you do better for me if I give you a 10% raise next year? I said, Mr. Martin, I give you 150% every day of my life. I said, you could give me a double increase in pay, and I couldn't do any more for you than I'm doing right now. I'm giving you all I have every day of my life. He said, you get the raise. And I got the raise. Now then, how should it be with Jesus? Is that the way we ought to be serving the King? You ought to be giving him, Alan, you ought to be giving him 100% every day, right? Actually, 110 or 120, right?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Side Effects from Deliverance, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.